Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Albert Morales, and this morning's conversation is with Assistant Secretary of State and Chief Financial Officer Brad Higgins. Also joining us in our conversation is IBM Project Executive Bonnie Glick. Brad, recommendations have been made that state, with the Department of Defense and USAID, establish a means to track and account for security costs to develop more accurate budget estimates. Are there any specific efforts in place to implement such recommendations?
Yes, there are, Al. The U.S. Government Accountability Office, better known as GAO, is in the process of reviewing that issue, and they've asked, this is particularly in Iraq, to look at the private security providers there and to account for their cost. And this is really, people don't appreciate one of the real challenges. And I think earlier I mentioned some of the cost overruns and the what people call that, fraud, waste, and abuse. Well, that's about 5 to 10% of the cost. I'd say about 30 to 40% of our costs now have been in security. And I think GAO wants to know about it, but it's becoming part and parcel of operating in this world and in a hostile environment. One of our top priorities is to protect the American citizen, to protect the people we ask to go out there. And it's taking a little adjusting in our budgeting to reflect this really high cost of operating. But that is the cost of being in a place like Iraq. It's a necessary cost. We need to be able to have people out there, and we can't do it by phone. So it is something that we're tracking closely. And it also means the importance of us working very closely with the military and the type of protection they provide us. I spent a lot of time in Humvees protected by Marines and soldiers. And, my hat's off to them to what they've done. But as we all know, the costs are high. But again, they're unfortunately necessary to winning this global war on terror.
Given the management changes that are already underway in the Department of State in the areas of transformational diplomacy, where do you see the Bureau of Resource Management in the next 5 to 10 years?
Well, to be perfectly honest, maybe it's just because where I come from. But what I see and my goal is to turn the resource management into a true financial advisor to the secretary and to the senior management. They should know what things are going to cost. They should say, what options do I have? And if I've got X amount of money, what can I do? Are there better programs? And that kind of goes back to what I was saying before about our priorities of working the interagency side and the international side, so that we're able to, if we provide the seed capital, will a private sector come in? Can we get an international, another country to match what we're doing? Pushing that, trying to maximize the use of the taxpayer dollars. And I think I mentioned before that the philosophy that I've taken is one not of spending but of investing. We need to be looking at, what is the best use of this money? And that, to me, is the real goal of RM is to provide that analytical capability, not just the budgeting, but to be able to monitor it and work with the various bureaus to say, if you did it this way, you might be able to get that. If you did it another way. And I really do believe the challenges for us, particularly with Congress, is it's not one of funding. It's one of execution. We get the execution right. I have a pretty strong feeling Congress will give whatever funding we need. They've been very supportive, but I also think they should be they have a right to demand results. And I think part of my job is to be able to provide that accounting and provide that responsibility. As you know, there's something called the CFO Act of 1990. That requires me to be responsible for all financial activities at the State Department. I'm not a glutton for punishment, but if I'm going to take this job, it's important for me to live up to it. I had that great opportunity of being in Iraq. I know the sacrifices our men and women are experiencing over there, and I think that makes my job very, very clear. Are we getting the results we need? And if we're not, they should replace me. And in fact, I'll go recruit someone who would do a better job. But to me, that is really the job number one for the CFO at the State Department.
Brad, I'm hard-pressed to believe that you can actually find somebody who's done a better job than you have. But you obviously bring a wealth of experience from your tenure in the private sector. So I'd sort of like to ask you a two-part question here. One is, what other best practices and learnings can you share with your fellow public sector CFOs? And what advice would you give to a person who's out there in the private sector, perhaps thinking about a career in public service?
It's a good question. I guess the best advice I would give in sort of following up what I said is for the CFOs is to focus on execution. Let the funding follow execution. It becomes a lot easier when people have confidence in that you're spending the money wisely. I always say, well, you know, it's the way you'd run your own home and run your own company. And I think that's a standard we should apply to our own government. You know, to me, talking about job satisfaction and the type of the job I have, the pay sometimes isn't as good as Wall Street. But there's one thing I guess you get to my age, job satisfaction becomes very important. You know, it's not something I thought about when I got out of college. And oddly enough, the only regret I think I had coming out of Iraq was I didn't go into the Marines after college, because I think the experience these young men and women have is just life-altering and life-changing in terms of being part of something bigger than themselves. And it's not all about how much money I'm making. But I also think that there is a lot of us who are, you know, of my generation, you know, and you're born in the 50s, that you're getting to that point of retirement where you want to have a second career. And I can't think of a better area than going back into the government. You know, one of the things I'm pushing hard for is to develop fellowships with either the private sector or universities. And we always have constraints on how much staff, and being able to bring people in who can bring the intellectual rigor. The lesson I learned in Iraq is that most people don't realize this, but people over there work 7 days a week, upwards of 14 to 16 hours a day. You actually lose track of what day of the week it is. And the strain of that is that you're constantly putting out fires and you don't have the time to really do that rigorous research and thinking through that you'd like to do. And I think one of the things I would like to see is to bring the private sector more actively involved into the public sector, be it on a volunteer basis or sponsored by institutions. But we really benefit from the experiences of the private sector. And that's something that, you know, whether it's someone coming out of college looking to have a career or someone who's already had a career and has got nothing to prove. And I kind of fall into that. I there are days it's been the most frustrating job I've ever had, but there are far more days that this has been the best job I've ever had. So I can't say enough about the State Department. I, at times, very critical about some of the things we did in Iraq, and I think the lesson that I tried to follow was, if I'm going to criticize, I better have a solution, and I'm also better be willing to roll up my sleeves and go do it. I put together courses of action or plans of action, and there wasn't enough staff out in Baghdad last summer. I said, well, I guess I'll go out and help. Well, I thought I was going to be there for 3 weeks. I ended up being there 5 months. But these people are working very hard, and I think that's the message I wanted to share, is that this has been a great career for the people of the State Department. We're always looking for talent at all levels, you know, whether it's entry level or later on or senior levels. And I would encourage people to go to our website, state.gov, and explore what's going on, whether it's working in Iraq or working in Afghanistan or just working at the State Department, what opportunities we have. It's an exciting place. Perhaps more than any other time, and certainly in our history, at least, you know, our immediate history, there's some real challenges. You just have to pick up the newspaper to realize what's going on, and it's a scary time. And I find it's a lot easier to get involved than to read about in the newspaper. And the one thing I will finish with is that what you read in the newspaper and what goes on out there sometimes is very different, and that the challenge is to be out there and to see it firsthand and to put your experience to work there and have that sense of satisfaction. Obviously, I'm not going to do it alone, or I'm just a small player, but certainly it's been exciting to be around people like Ambassador Khalilzad or Secretary Rice and see what they've been doing.
Brad, thank you. That's great advice, and certainly your passion and enthusiasm rings crystal clear through the studio here. Unfortunately, we have reached the end of our time, and although I have a million questions, I'm sure Bonnie has another million, we will have to end our questioning. I do want to thank you for fitting us into your busy schedule today, but more importantly, Bonnie and I would like to thank you for your dedicated service to the public and our country in the various roles you've held at state and in the financial management field.
Well, thanks, Alan. And Bonnie, this is it. I welcome this, and it's one of those things where we get so focused on what we're doing, and we sometimes forget the message has got to get out there. I would encourage all the listeners to look at I mentioned before about jobs, but to go to the State Department website and open up our performance and accountability report and read it. Send us an email if you want more information, because I think there is an awful lot going on, and it's a much better story than one might first perceive. This is all about learning, you know, from what's working and what's not. And I think that's one thing I'm convinced of with the State Department, is that we're trying to do a better job every day, but it's a dynamic situation, and we do need the support of everyone involved.
Great. Thank you. This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation with Assistant Secretary, Bureau of Resource Management, and Chief Financial Officer of the Department of State, Mr. Bradford Higgins. Be sure to visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and get a transcript of today's conversation. Once again, that's businessofgovernment.org. As you enjoy the rest of your day, please take time to remember the men and women of our armed and civil services abroad who can't hear this morning's show on how we're improving their government, but who deserve our unconditional respect and support. For the Business of Government Hour, I'm Albert Morales. Thank you for listening.